Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the T.O. Harris Show, where we will try to bring you interesting topics about legendary artists. And indeed, we have a wonderful show for you this morning. What we're going to do, which I think is very interesting, is continue the conversation that we had with our part one show about the legendary Clyde McFatter. And to continue that show, we have the very same special guest that we had with us on the first show, a young lady by the name of Amanda Parker. Are you there?
Yes, I am here, T.L. Thanks for having me again.
No problem. Glad that you were able to make it. And we also want to welcome all the guests that we have in the chat room that we have open for this particular show. As we have gone over in the first part of the show, we went over just who Clyde McFatter was and his career with Billy Ward and the Dominoes, and him going on to create the Drifters and then going on to his own success on the Atlantic and the, was it Mercury? Mercury labels.
Yeah, Mercury MGM. Right,
in the early to mid-60s. And I think we hit on some very, very interesting topics in that first show. For those who didn't have a chance to listen to that show, I strongly urge that you do, because there's some very interesting things about Clyde that was discussed, and we hope that you take the time to do that. But continuing the discussion that we had earlier as far as his musical legacy, we talked about, you know, Clyde going through the depression and the problems that caused in his personal life and his professional life, and we want to expound upon that a little bit. And I'm going to start with this question to you, Amanda. There's one thing that I always found interesting, actually incredibly fascinating, in something that Clyde said the year before he passed away. Clyde actually said in an article that he had no fans. Knowing about Clyde the way you do and knowing what you know about him, would you care to expound upon the meaning of that statement?
Sure. You know, Clyde had fans of all races, genders, nationalities. The thing is, in almost every case you name, the heights of fame only run so far and for so long. No one's on top forever, and you have to know how to ride the wave and take the good with the bad, and it's not easy. You know, I love Clyde very, very much, and he has a fan in me, you know, but I can imagine that at that time, you know, we're talking about the early 70s, that some of the fans would have, in his mind, abandoned him because the musical landscape had changed. But that still happens even to this day. If you were to name artists who were popular a decade ago, two decades ago, they don't have the same heights that they once had. And that's just part of the music business. But I think as an artist, what you have to do, you have to realize that, okay, when I'm at the top of the top of the charts and I have all the fans and fame in the world, at some point, it won't last forever. Just like they weren't on top forever, you know, they weren't always on top. They won't always be on top. They had to work their way up. They'll, at some point, work their way down. And it's the matter of how you handle it.
Right.
And being in the right frame of mind to accept what comes along with that. And unfortunately, I don't think Clyde realized that at that point. I think his personality, maybe if he was, you know, like we talked about, he was depressed, he was drinking a lot. So the alcohol probably clouded his judgment as well. But he would have always had fans. You can't have a voice like Clyde McFatter and have done all the things that he's done and not have fans. I wasn't even born when he died. I wasn't born until 12, almost 12 years later. So
it's
something that he would have always had fans. He will always have fans, but he won't. He couldn't have always maintained the level of success that he once knew, and nobody does. And it's almost like a, you know, like a losing football team. You know, some people who are diehard fans of a particular team, regardless, and then you have those bandwagon fans. But you have to appreciate those true fans, and you can't shun them just because the bandwagoners have jumped on somebody else's bandwagon.
Exactly.
So, you know, I actually had the opportunity last week, earlier this week, actually, on Monday, to visit his gravesite.
Absolutely.
And it was something, you know, he's buried up in Paramus, New Jersey. It was something I wanted to do. I finally got a chance to do it, and it meant a lot to me to be there and to, you know, show my respect to somebody I love a lot. So just wanted to share that with you as well.
I'm definitely glad you did, because anytime that you get to get a chance to visit the gravesite of a particular artist that you're very fond of, there's always something special about that particular experience. I know that when I had the opportunity to visit Johnny Taylor, you know, you and I being alike as we are, you know, it was a similar experience, if you will.
Right.
But what I would like to do is ask you about something that you and I have discussed at length, and I would like for you to expound upon that for everybody else. You and I have mm-hmm. talked about Sam Cooke at length. Not just now, but over the years. And the difference with the death of Clyde and Sam was, before the death of Sam Cooke, Sam had a support system around him. And you add to that the fact that he was at the top of his game, to that, you know, it leads a very interesting experience to up until that point where Sam was killed, and it's like there's this great rush of emotion from those primarily in the black community, but all across the world. Now, when Clyde passed away, be it he wasn't as big a star as he used to be, or you know, the depression, there was a totally different shift in how Clyde was treated in his passing. Could you expound upon that, please?
Sure. You know, and both of them being my two all-time favorite singers.
Absolutely.
Like you said, when Sam died, he was at the height of his fame. It was a very huge deal in, you know, the world, period, but especially in the black community, because he had so many fans and soul music was just really, really getting it, you know, like it was hitting the gas and really exploding in the world. So when he died, it was so much that hadn't been achieved that a lot of people thought that he would have been able to go on and do it. I'm one of those. I'm sure that you are too, with so many things that we missed out on because of his death, him being murdered, that we didn't get a chance to experience. And there was articles, you know, I mean, pages and pages and pages of coverage of his death and of his funerals. And I said funerals as plural, because there was one in Chicago, and there was also a Los Angeles funeral. So he had two funerals. It was that big of a deal.
Exactly.
And,
exactly.
You know, it's covered in Jet magazine, Ebony magazine, every magazine out there, you know, pretty much, but especially Ebony and Jet, with those catering to the black community. And also, even after his death, it kept on with all the drama that was going on as far as the death being ruled a justifiable homicide, and just, you know, it was a lot of coverage, and then his wife going on to marry Bobby Womack, which is a totally different show, but, you know, it was just, the coverage kept going. With Clyde McFadden, is one little article, a piece of a page that says, you know, Clyde McFadder, singer of the 50s and 60s, you know, formerly of the Drifters, has died. They get his age wrong. They, you know, it's like they don't mention who he was survived by, the circumstances, really. It might say he died of a heart attack. It may say that, you know, it may not even list how he died. And it's like, really? That's all you can give me? You know, as somebody who's tried to go back, I didn't live in that time period, but it's apparently with the information I'm finding, it didn't matter because I'm not learning any more than I probably would have at that time. But it's just so sad because it's so many unanswered questions about his personal life, about what frame of mind he was in at that time. Yeah. You know, it's a very vast contrast when you look at the two different artists who both, you know, I absolutely adore. So it's really hard to balance it, you know, because it's so much I know about Sam and so much I don't know about Clyde and so much that, you know, it's just so much more to learn, and it's getting frustrating because the sources, if you can't find out from the newspapers of that time and the magazines of that time, it's not going to get much, you know, it's only going to get harder. It's not going to get much easier to find the information. So
right. The only other option would be to actually talk to the people who were there.
Right. And as we both know, as we age, they age as well. So, you know, it's hard to, and I don't have any personal connections. I would like to be able to talk to someone and find out more information. But, you know, hopefully at some point there will be a more comprehensive biography other than what I have already, which is just a biographical essay by Colin Escott. That's, you know, that's pretty much the most that's out there about Clyde, really. So hopefully somebody can write a biography, and then at some point it could turn into a movie. But, you know, it's one step at a time at this point. So
who knows? Maybe I'm talking to the future author. just remember me if you turn it into a movie. Make sure you remember me in the movie deal. somehow, I could play Clyde's father. Okay. What we have now in the first show, we talked a lot about Clyde's career and you know, the perils that he faced, and him being a seminal figure in the industry in the 50s and the 60s, and his influence. But what we would like to do for you is to play a couple of tunes from, I believe, a very special album, and I know Amanda believes that as well, which is his last album that was on the Decca label, entitled Welcome Home. We're going to play a couple of tunes from that and let Amanda expound upon these tunes. The first tune we're going to play is a tune called Book of Memories.
Growing colder. Are you slipping from my arms silently? Am I winding up the same as the other love? Just a page in your book of memories. Has the flame in your heart burned to ashes?
That's the way the cookie crumbles.
Do you see me now as just your used to be? Though you've hurt me, please confess. Am I like all the rest? just a face in a crowd. Your arms together. Just a name on a list that grows and grows. Just a sigh, just a kiss, just a thrill. Just a chapter that seems about to close.
That was Book of Memories from Clive McFadden's last album. It was on the Decca label. The album was entitled Welcome Home. And Amanda, would you care to expound upon that song?
Sure. I think it's special because if you listen to the lyrics, it's, you know, obviously about, you know, it's taken to be about a relationship, but I think it could also, if you looked at his career and the way he may have been feeling at the time, as far as just basically everything he did, just being part of a book of memories, not being what's actually going on right now, what's popular right now, but something that basically is a thought from the past. So, you know, I think it's an example also of how he was changing with the music. These songs weren't songs that, you know, charted or very memorable songs by him.
Right.
You know, when you go through the start naming your favorite Clive McFadden songs, you have to would really be a huge fan to even mention the songs that were released on those later albums. But I think it just shows that he wasn't left behind by music. He was going with the flow. It's just, you know, it's just one of those things where he wasn't probably getting the promotion. And then, you know, as we talked about, he had his problem. So that didn't help either, you know. But
absolutely,
that's definitely one of my favorites from that album.
Absolutely. I have to mention this. There's a gentleman in the chat room. His name is, I hope you don't mind me mentioning your name, Patrick Staten. And I have to let you know this. He said to us, try listening to Crying Won't Help You Now, done in 1965, a minor hit on the Mercury label. Now,
there's
a reason I read that on the air, and because Amanda and I have created a list, the top five list, and we've done this with as many artists as you can think of. Everybody from Johnny Taylor to the Drifters. I mean, we've done this list with practically everybody. And we've done a list with Clyde.
Right.
The number one song are both of our lists at the moment is indeed Crying Won't Help You Now.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
I just had to mention that. You know, it's a great, great record.
Well, I don't know Patrick, but he's my friend now because that, like I said, if you know that song, you're in with me. So
absolutely, almost was the almost threw out a Pagliacci reference. You're welcome, Patrick. We're pressed for time, so I have to do this. We're going to do the Mixed Up Cup, and we're going to talk about that, and then there's one more thing we have to get to after that. But right now, from the Welcome Home album, the Mixed Up Cup.
Dirty old cup, and you got me. You take a little sugar and add a little spice, add a little bit of everything that's nice. Mix it all up in a pretty clean cup, and you got her. The mixed up cup, the mixed up cup. Like I know you will. You mix it all up in a magic cup, and you got kids. So you take a few kids and you send them to school. You hope and pray you're not bringing up a fool. Mix it all up in a brand new cup, and you got you. That the old folks wrote. You mix it all up in that same new cup, man, and you got now. So you take a few jars and you add a few tears. You take a few turns, who've seen a few years. Mix it all up in that same little cup, and you got age. So you take a little this and add a little that. Take a few lies and add a little fact. Dirty old cup, and you've got me. Then you take a little sugar and add a little spice and add a little bit of everything nice. You mix it all up in a pretty clean cup, and you've got her. Then you buy a little house on the side of a hill.
That was the Mixed Up Cup by Clyde McFadden once again on the Welcome Home album on the Decca label in 1970. Would you care to expound upon that song real quick?
Absolutely. The reason that I requested TL play that song was because just to show, you know, that song, it's not so much about Clyde's voice in that song or the lyrics, it's the music. That song has been sampled by probably 15 to 20 hip-hop or rap artists. Nas, A Tribe Called Quest, The Roots, Common, Redman, all of them have sampled that song. So just to show the relevance that his music still has.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's very important that people know this because, you know, in sampling songs like that, you know, that lets you know that people don't forget. I mean,
right.
If you're going back and sampling something from his last album that had not one hit on it, that means people are really listening to the artist and the legend. I would like to answer one question real quick. Patrick again asked why Clyde didn't return to the Drifters after his military stint. And the reason for that would be before he went to the Army, he had already left the Drifters and he sold his stake in the group to George Treadwell. So by the time he went to the Army, he didn't have control of the group anymore. You know, that I hope that answers your question. But I would also like to ask you this in the remaining time that we have left. There's a show on TV One entitled Unsung that puts a spotlight on underrated and legendary artists. Given this fact that this show is on the air, how urgently do you think that he should have his own episode? Because in my opinion, it's not a matter of if with Clyde he should have his own show, but a matter of when.
Okay.
But what do you think about that?
Well, Unsung is one of my favorite shows, and if I could get one wish when it comes to that show, it would be for Clyde McFadden to have an episode. I believe he's the true definition of Unsung. You know, he's a two-time inductee into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame with the potential of being inducted a third time, yet his name is forgotten or not known by so many. And he's one of the most influential voices of all time, having influenced everyone from Elvis Presley to Patsy Cline and Smokey Robinson. You know, this man needs his due praise, and TV One's show Unsung is just the place to get the ball rolling. Of course, that needs to be sooner than later, because a lot of the best shows don't always stay on the air for various reasons. But, you know, I think the sooner they can get an episode to honor him, the better, because he's one of those artists that as time moves on, as we age, as new generations come in, there's so many other artists that people feel like are unsung, which, you know, they're definitely valid as well. But Clyde McFadden is just he's so far before some of these people that it just wouldn't be fair for him to not have his episode. So I think if they can do that, that would make me very, very happy.
Absolutely. And I agree with everything you said 100%. Quickly, I would like to take this time to welcome all the guests that came into the Blog Talk chat room as it pertains to this show. I would like to thank Patrick Staten. I would also like to thank Stephanie Campbell. And I would like to thank, as you and I call him, the man himself. See, we said that, you know, once we found out this particular person was going to be tuning into the show, that we had to be on our P's and Q's.
Absolutely.
Doesn't necessarily matter that we're older.
Right.
We still
have
to be on our P's and Q's. Exactly. Let's get that out there. We're not old. I may sound old, but we're not old. But I'm talking about none other than our friend, Mr. Colton Thomas.
The man with the time machine that goes back in time and gets all these records and comes back and acts like he just found them somewhere. Okay, I'm done. Hey, Colton.
Hey, Colton. As a matter of fact, speaking about the time machine, I'm flying out to where you are so I can hop in it and go back to his ville in Soulsville. I just want to let you know that personally. And Amanda will probably be with me. We have a little, about a minute and a half left. Is there anything else that you would like to mention about Clyde?
Just that for the people who aren't familiar with his music, you know, go back to the very beginning, which would be, you know, him with the Dominoes, Billy Ward and the Dominoes, all the way through the Drifters years, through his early years as a solo artist with Atlantic, MGM, then Mercury, Amy and then Decca. You know, I mean, just go all the way through and just hear the growth that he had as an artist, because if you were to look at just a short biography of him, you would think that his career stopped at, you know, 62 or 63, and it went all the way through until, you know, a couple of years before he died in, you know, on June 13th, 1972. So it's been 40 years. But his
exactly.
Music is still relevant and still resonates in my heart very much. So, you know, I like to think that I have good taste in music. So he's definitely one of my all-time favorite artists, period.
Well, everybody listening, I'd like to co-sign on the fact that you do have excellent taste in music.
Thank you.
Or else we wouldn't be doing this show right now. But again, we have 19 seconds left. I want to thank everybody for coming out and enjoying this show. Glad that you all had a good time. And there will be another show coming soon. But right now, we want to thank you for enjoying this episode. Everybody have a wonderful evening.
And thank you, TL, for having me.